Okay, welcome to the Snap UK Week 12 review. Limited cast this week. We have G-Lo, we have Jim.
Word up.
Hello. word to your mother. Griff and Paul can't be here for various reasons, basically. So we'll go straight into the news. So we'll lead with Will Fuller is suspended for the next six games. He put it on Instagram. Basically, he thought he was prescribed a treatment that was within the rules. It turns out it wasn't. So he's now banned for six games, which is going to basically finish his Texans career. As well, I think Bradley Roby's been...
Yeah, I was going to say, Bradley Roby for the same offence.
So
are these the same treatments that Edelman takes most off-seasons?
No, because these guys thought they were legal.
Is it like when Samir Nasri went to like Spain and got some sort of like weird infusion?
Well, didn't he have a blood cleaning? And
that's right, yeah.
The only way he got caught was because they used him in advertising photos. he's basically he will be a free agent this summer. So actually, he could be quite a pickup for a lot of teams out there.
He's had a good year in Houston so far. Like with the, I remember when we were going into the fantasy draft, the absence of DeAndre Cook in Houston, he was seen as a sneaky good player, and he's had a lot of receptions. He's had a lot of yards.
DeAndre Hopkins.
No, Fuller.
But yeah, you said DeAndre Cook. You said the absence of DeAndre Cook.
I don't even know who DeAndre Cook is. Is he like a local chef of yours?
It's DeAndre Hopkins and Brandon Cooks.
DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Cook is just a Madden random name generator. Anyway, Will Fuller's actually been playing quite well. He's had a lot of receptions. He's had a good few yards. He's certainly become the Houston number one receiver. Even if he isn't a natural number one receiver. So, he'll go into the offseason. I think you're right. I think he'll leave the Texans because he was close to having a trade out there anyway. And I can see him going to a pretty decent team because he's a useful player.
Bradley the Packers must be pretty pleased. They didn't pay anything for him now.
Yeah.
True.
Few.
I'm sure. You know, he went out on a good week, but we'll come to that shortly. We're going to cover the Ravens Steelers, which still hasn't happened and may not happen.
Basically, we're not Monday, a couple of Ravens Steelers.
Monday morning, it seemed that it was off because the Ravens weren't allowed in their facility, and then travel plans to Pittsburgh were basically gone to shit. They've now been allowed in
technical
terms. That feels bad weather in Pittsburgh. So at the moment it's still on, but if you're relying on Juju, Claypool, etc. in your fantasy teams, then say your prayers. Do what you need because it may not happen. And of course, it had effect on Thursday night this week, which was supposed to be Ravens Cowboys, which is now next Tuesday. Should we cover the game?
How many players went down with COVID? Because like lots of them are already out, aren't they?
It was a lot, wasn't it? 18 or 19?
Yeah. It was 18 players.
So being as the Broncos were made to play without a quarterback, surely they should have just chucked them all on a bus and made them play 3 days ago.
Well, I was going to mention this when we talk about the Broncos, but yeah, I think you're right. It seems that the NFL have got one rule for one team and another rule for another. And again, you could look at the Broncos case and say, yeah, that was of their own doing. But I think the NFL have made a bit of an error here in terms of like, you can't play NFL football without a quarterback. It's like playing soccer without a goalkeeper. Yeah, it just doesn't work. It doesn't make for good entertainment. So there's, you know,
are you suggesting rush quarterback, which is basically what we saw?
That's basically what they did, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah, they just rushed it from the Wildcat.
Yeah. But then it does pose a danger to player safety as well. I mean, fair play to the lad. He went out there and played, but he had no practice. He's not played quarterback for a good few years anyway. And he's suddenly thrown into an NFL, like the elite game, against an elite defense as well. Like, I think the NFL have probably cut their nose off to spite the face of it there.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into that one later.
He definitely wasn't getting paid enough for that risk.
No. But so we'll cover all bases. So, Jim, for anyone who's listening, in case the game does happen, Jim, do you want to tell us why it was a good win for the Steelers? Great, Gary.
I thought the defense really played up to their limits. Really, it's one of those. I think we talked about it last week, where the Steelers, for once, didn't play down to the level of their opposition. They played up to the level of the opposition. They absolutely bottled up Lamar Jackson. They forced him. He couldn't escape the pocket. TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, all over that dodgy offensive line that's now in Baltimore. Jackson, he hasn't got the best passing ability. So, you know, three interceptions was a bit rough in the night. but Steelers deserve it. You know, they came up against a good defense as well. But Roethlisberger with Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Juju, he's firing all cylinders. And I'm especially pleased with Claypool getting 6 touchdowns because he won my fantasy matchup.
I'll tell you what, though, it's an interesting take, isn't it? Because, you know, I thought it was a great bounce back by Lamar Jackson, you know, coming back from last week. You know, I've not seen him run that well all season. You know, Mark Ingram even turned up with a touchdown. So I thought it was quite interesting. And the Steelers, you know, a lot of people thought they might even go 16-0, but 10-1, aren't they?
And to cover all bases, I think it's left the NFL with a real egg on their face that the game wasn't played at all. And hopefully, you know, the lessons will be learned. But I don't see that being the case. Bases covered, cool. Guys.
Right.
It's fine.
Delete as appropriate.
we're still geniuses. And of course, the big news, which is going to lead into the first game, Matt Patricia is gone in Detroit. And seems strange timing. It's, you know,
I think the timing's off. I mean, the general manager's gone as well, hasn't he? So, like, I think they're cleaning house, and it's hard to argue against it. I personally don't agree with it. I think, you know, there was something. He's probably the best season they've had. What Patricia's had with the Lions, which isn't saying much because they are in 4-7. But I feel that there was improvement.
It's really strange, isn't it?
I can't argue
3 weeks ago, we were talking about how we would, you know, they'd allowed him time and we were starting to see some green shoots. Stafford gets beaten up a little bit in the last couple of games. DeAndre Swift is a little bit beaten up. They're missing Golladay. What exactly are you expecting? You know, I'm not really sure why what has happened in the last 2 or 3 weeks that has led to the dismissal. You know, what confidence has been lost based on what they've seen? You know, we know that without Matt Stafford, the Detroit Lions are absolutely nothing. And without DeAndre Swift as well, who really came through the previous 3 or 4 weeks before that, that's going to be a problem, isn't it?
Exactly.
It really is. So,
So I struggle to see what they're going to do. And we say this often. It's all very well sacking a coach and sacking a general manager. You've got to go out and find a replacement. There are replacements there, but are you going to get the same level as you do with Matt Patricia, who knows the game inside out? I don't know. So I understand why they did it. It was strange timing, but at the same time, I wouldn't have been surprised if they kept him on for another season.
I feel like he's not been given the tools to do his job. Effectively, been given a load of Patriots rejects to, you know, do. I mean, I guess for the Patriots defensive coordinator, that I guess is a hope that. But no, you know, it's like the old days of Arsenal. You know, players don't leave the Pats and get better. You know.
Look, you know, there's a difference between being a coach and a head coach, isn't there? Which we all know is a thing, whether it's in football or American football. But I think the other thing is they did come up against Deshaun Watson looking superb.
Yeah.
Like that guy, if he mm-hmm. had some talent around him, he is, you'd put him right up there, wouldn't you? As the most, I know yeah. people do already, but he is so talented. You know, his passing, you look at him versus Lamar, yeah. and I would take Deshaun Watson, like 95 times absolutely. Out of 100. He yeah. is a far better quarterback. You know, his numbers, 318 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Boom. Like, just, yeah. it's just out, it's out of sight for the Lions, isn't it? They've got no way to come yeah. back to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely is. I mean, I saw a crazy rumor on Instagram the other day that the 49ers were trying to package something together to trade with Deshaun Watson. I didn't mention it because it's absolute bull. They're never going to get him away from
send everybody. Like, so don't get DeForest Buckner back and send him as well.
Yeah. Just for the, you know, that fleeting moment where I kind of thought about it. It's like, oh, that special, because he is a special talent. I think to your point, John, around, yeah, the Lions haven't got great talent on their roster. And that's probably why Bob Quinn's gone. But the issue was that Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia come as a pair. They're both expatriates. They're both working together. So you kind of get the impression that the roster had as much of Patricia's fingerprints all over it as it did the general yeah. manager, Bob Quinn's fingerprints. So I think it's probably right that they both go if you're going to get rid of him and you clean house and you start again. But yeah, I'm not sure where they're going to go.
No, you say for the game itself, the Lions were, they weren't great.
Bang average.
Fourth time they've lost in a row on Thanksgiving as well now.
Yeah.
So happy Thanksgiving, Detroit.
What next for Detroit? I mean, the
an early pick.
Well, the owners come out and say it's up to the it's up to the next coach whether they want to trade Stafford. Stafford's 32.
Who's going to trade now for Stafford?
I don't know.
He was very reliable for the past 8 years, but the last 18 months he's getting injured more and more and more. He's probably spending, you know, he went a record number of games without missing a game, didn't he? But now he is, you know, he's been injured a fair bit over these last 18 months. I just don't think with the talent coming through, no one's going to pay you anything big for Stafford.
No, no. But I'm just, it's just because it's been mentioned, I thought I'd bring it up. But yeah, you know. I also think there's a lot of teams, you look at the Colts, because Rivers is in a 2-year deal, but if the times are better, they'd be much better with Stafford than they would be with Philip Rivers.
Yeah. You're right. It's going to come down to what pick they have in the draft. Because that's going to be important in terms of, like, are they in a position to draft one of the top quarterbacks? And B, kind of like what they can get for him. Because I don't think you can get that much from him at the moment. Like, he's on his day, he's probably a top 5 quarterback. But on his day, is too rare at the moment.
No, he's a slightly rich man's Joe Flacco. All he wants to do is lob the ball long and do comebacks. Like, and I know he gets put in that position by his team, but he's taken the Lions to, what, 3 playoffs in, like, 10 years or something? So, he's been reasonably successful, but less so since Megatron's gone. So I just don't think that he's necessarily the talent that he was made to look like. I think he's decent, but I don't think he's an upgrade on Philip Rivers, and I don't like Philip Rivers.
Wow, I never thought I'd hear you say that. I think he's definitely an upgrade on Philip Rivers. And
I think he's an upgrade on... He is.
Colts could be a good destination.
Has Philip Rivers been that bad this week, though?
No, he's been right.
This year. I don't think he's been...
He's been that bad.
He's 39, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
38, isn't he?
We're still... You know,
I know it's only a year, but...
It's still 6 to 7 years more than Matt Stafford.
Yeah, Matt Stafford.
And, you know, if you look at, like, Carson Palmer, you know, who he was 32 when he forced a trade. And I'm saying if Stafford sees, you know, no future in Detroit, what if he forces a trade?
But if you're the Colts and you've got reasonable draft capital or reasonable salary cap and you've got an experienced quarterback in Rivers and you've still got Jacoby Brissett and they're not totally moved away from him yet. No. And I know Rivers was brought in above him, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's done for good. You know, he is definitely still part of the picture there. So if they want a new quarterback, they can go and get one they want. They don't need to go and pick up the scraps from around the league.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's just, is it just, I just thought I'd create the argument. But I don't think that's as much as that game needs, because it was not a particularly great game. But just because a bloke lost his job from it. Bucks 24, Chiefs 27.
Do you know what I enjoyed the most? All the GIFs of like Brady being knocked out by Mahomes. All the little pictures of like Mahomes. To be fair, this game was pretty much done by half time, wasn't it?
It's done after the end of the first quarter, I think. Tyreek Hill going on an absolute tear in that first quarter. It was just ridiculous. You know, it's Todd Bowles is a defensive coordinator for the Buccaneers. Had a good season, but he completely messed that up. Like, just leaving Tyreek Hill one-on-one with, who was it, Carlton Davis, I think it was, who's had a good year, but like, there are very few cornerbacks in this league that you can put one-on-one with Tyreek Hill. Maybe one or two. Jalen Ramsey, maybe, and one other. Stephen Gilmore. Do it one time and get burnt, but then like correct it. But to do it twice and even three times, it's like it's just unforgivable, really. So yeah, I think the scoreline flatters Tampa massively. Like, the Chiefs completely took their foot off the gas. I think this game could have easily been 50-odd to 14 if the Chiefs really went for it.
Yeah, it really was. They completely took their foot off the pedal for the second half, and the Bucs came back because, you know, they're still a good team.
Have we seen a little bit of that this year? The Chiefs not really kind of putting the foot on the throat and finishing teams off? Because I know last year they just seemed to score at will, and then once they got... They kind of started quite slowly in some games last year.
Yeah.
And they just, once they were in the zone, they just seemed to go... Whereas now, they do seem a little bit more cautious around just locking down the victory. We're not seeing them win by 20 points this season. Is it like, have they regressed, or are they just being more professional? I'm a bit uncertain.
I think it is smarter, yeah.
Tariq Hill didn't really play the second half, did he?
Because
they only brought him in when the scores were close and, you know, you needed to burn the defence again. But I think it is smarter, you know.
I think you're right, Gary, in terms of like you think of their playoff run. I think they were behind in every single game, and they came back, and they made a big thing about, you know, they could do the comeback. And I think they've corrected that to an extent this year. I think if they were getting a little bit more out of their running backs, I think it would make it for a better story, because I don't think they'd be able to wind down the clock a little bit more, rather than rely so much on Mahomes. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire has had a good year, but I don't think he's had a stellar year by any sense of the imagination.
He's dropped off again, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
For the first 3-4 weeks, he looked really good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've hardly heard his name lately.
Sunday, he had 11 carries for 37 yards on Sunday, which, you know, isn't good enough. Le'Veon Bell only had 5 carries, 22 yards, which is a bit better. But I think, you know, if they had... someone like Carson from the Seahawks who could just like run through the tackles, I don't think that's quite Edwards-Helaire game, but they need someone like that just to control the clock. I don't think that's what they've got.
Yeah, I think week 6 was the last time Edwards-Helaire went above 15 touches. Mm. You know, which, you know, if they had that a workhorse back, that would really help them.
Well, and they started to involve Bell a little bit, but not with any kind of great numbers. And that might take, you know, it'd be interesting to see how he does come playoff time, because I think, you know, he will fit very well in their scheme. And it'd be interesting to see. So it's, a lot of the time, what you see from teams is through the regular season, they use as little as the playbook as they can, don't they? And then they just start to release other stuff and bring in different personnel just so that it's not so scripted. So it'd be interesting to see how they start to mix it up, because, you know, soon they're going to be able to go into rest mode. They're going to have their seeding locked down. They're, you know, a couple more weeks, they're going to be, they'll have their division tied up and probably their seeding. So, they're, you know, 2 or 3 weeks' time, they're going to be able to start just, you know, easing into the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think a lot of it depends on what the Steelers do, because obviously the Steelers have currently got the number one seed, and that's the only kind of place that's going to get a bye this year, isn't it? So, I think they still want to go for that. On the other side of the ball, like, the Bucks, I can't, I mean, I've I think Bruce Arians came back and said, oh, you don't win a Super Bowl in October or whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, but fair enough. But you're losing against good teams. Like, you're not beating the good teams. You've lost against the Chiefs, the Rams, the Saints, you know, twice. And you've lost against, you know, the mighty Bears. The only good team you've beaten, really, is the Packers. And you gave them a good hide in that time. So fair enough. I worry about the Buccaneers because a lot's been made of Tom Brady not being able to throw the big pass. And I think he can, just not as regularly as a younger quarterback like Mahomes. And I don't think Bruce Arians is adapting his playbook to what he's got at quarterback. Now, the greatest thing about Bill Belichick is he looks at what he's got on his roster and he makes it work. Whereas Arians is like, this is my playbook. Go off and do it. And I'm not confident enough in Brady. He can do it. Brady likes the short passes, the running back coming out of the backfield to kind of dump it off to and get some yards. You know, players like Wes Welker and Julian Edelman, they're not a Tyreek Hill where they're going to run 50, 60 yards down the field and collect a pass. They're 10, 20 yard maximum. And so for that sense, I feel that there needs to be a bit of a change in Tampa Bay with the playbook to get more out of Tom Brady. I think he's still a quality player. I just don't think him and this playbook is matching very well.
Yeah, I think if you look, Brady, again this week, 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
We're talking about Brady interceptions more than I can remember for years. He must be up to kind of like 8 interceptions already for the season. Because he's had 5 just in prime time. And there's another 2. So that's 7. So he must be up to 8, 9. That's just reality, isn't it?
Yeah,
so he's turning the ball over. He might even be up to double figures. Jim, you got the number?
I have, actually. He has had 11 interceptions.
There you go. That's quite a lot.
He said 7 in November.
Yeah. So, you know, they made him pass the ball 41 times.
Yeah.
And I get they were behind, but we're not talking like 40 points behind.
Oh, exactly.
So there is a, you know, obviously there is a concern with the running game there. Fournette's done very little since he's arrived, doesn't he?
Tell me about
Ronald Jones, 66 yards. Fournette, 10 yards. Leonard Fournette, who went like 4th in the draft or something ridiculous?
Mm.
And now is doing nothing.
Most of Jones's yard would have been on the one play, wouldn't it? Because he had that long touchdown.
Yeah, that really long play, yeah.
It was a brilliant play, but it's, you know.
Yeah, that's 34 yards. That's more than half his carries. Also to note, since Antonio Brown's been there, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have gone 1-3. Like, I kind of, you know, is it a case of the fact where there are just too many mouths to feed now in Tampa Bay, and they're not getting the best out of anyone?
I picked him up in fantasy and played him 1 week, and the rest of the time he has just sat on my bench. Yeah. And I've not released him just because I don't want to admit defeat yet. But I picked him up and I just thought he's worth a risk. You know, you do that, don't you, in a team league?
I mean, I picked Fournette up in the draft because I was like, well, it's like 7th or 8th round. I'm going to take a punt here. And I think I played him in about 3 games and he scored about 4 points like in total.
But, I mean, it does seem to, you know, they've gone 1-3 the last 4 games. Mike Evans, you know, he got 2 touchdowns this week.
But that's his best game for a while, isn't it?
Best game for a while. And he's not getting the yards. I mean, he's an absolute monster of a receiver. And it's just not clicking. I know Goodwin isn't there, but he's been out, in and out. It's just something's not clicking there.
They were much better when Scotty Miller was getting more of the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob Gronkowski was the top receiver this week.
Yeah.
Only player over 100 yards.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anyway.
It's a worry.
If I was a Bucs fan,
I'd be worried.
It doesn't worry me. I think it's great. Like,
I mean, I have not stopped laughing.
I've been keeping the Bucs a bit lower in my power rankings. And this is why I just don't think they're delivering against top teams. You know, and we'll come on to the Bears and the Raiders, I'm sure, later on.
Well, Nick, we're going from one great one-man show in Tyreek Hill to another. Derrick Henry, Colts 26, Titans 45.
Do you know how much better it made my life on Sunday night by the fact that they allowed him to do it at the start of the night. So many times I have to wait till about 10:30 at night for my fantasy game to be won. This week, it was just beautiful. It was all happening straight away. By 9 o'clock, I was like, you know, give me another Prosecco. I'm celebrating this win already. Sorry, Chris, but it was just great. Let, you know, I know he does it very well against tiring defences, but the guy is just a beast. Just get him some space, and that is all you need to do. Get ahead. Yeah. And that Titans team, they lost earlier in the season, didn't they, to the Colts?
Yeah.
But they seem they've won the last 3 years now, I think, in Indianapolis. So they seem to be okay travelling there. But that was a very big game. And I think in that big game, almost seeing it as playoff football, allowing Derrick Henry to own the game was the key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the biggest loss for the Colts was not having DeForest Buckner because he went onto the COVID list. And you can see what a difference it makes when you lose a defensive tackle of that quality and you're having to play Derrick Henry. Like, you know, I'm not saying Derrick Henry wouldn't have had a good game if DeForest Buckner would have been there, but I'm sure he would have been slowed down a little bit and he perhaps wouldn't have had 178 yards and 3 touchdowns because the Colts just, they looked lost when he was coming out to up to him. And even, I think it was on the touchdown that Ryan Tannehill ran in. I think just before it happened, I was like, this is going to be a pass because they're going to fake it. And in the end, Tannehill ran it in himself. But you could see the dummy and Henry went, obviously, towards the line. Every single Colts defender went towards him. Rightly so.
Yeah. And
Tannehill just had like probably the easiest touchdown he's ever going to score. And that's the power you have. That's what you have with Derrick Henry is that you can't ignore him. Because if you ignore him, he's going to rip off like a 50, 60-yard run and score a touchdown. You can't let him get past your linebackers because once he's into the backfield, realistically, he can hand off most cornerbacks quite easily.
Yeah, it's strange. It's like Buckner was missing. The Colts defense just never got on to him all night. But, you know, they'll be back Buckner's back and... But
I still think they'll get into the playoffs. Also,
both these teams are making playoffs.
They're not getting. I think Titans now probably will win the division. But I think the Colts are definitely one of the favourites of the wild cards. I really like the Titans. Like, they're a really physical team. Because like we said it last week, you look at AJ Brown. Like he's basically a wide receiver version of Derrick Henry. He's really difficult to bring down. Built like a brick shit house, and he can catch the ball, and he's quick.
The only thing I would like to see, which surprises me a little bit actually, with Vrabel, the only thing I would like to see a bit more of is a reduction in the amount of points that the Titans give away. Mm. So far this year, the Titans have conceded an average 25.9 points. That's big. Yeah,
that's a lot.
So, and that's 20th in the league. Yeah. So, and when you look at teams around them, you're talking like the Browns, and I think they just need to tighten that up. You like that one?
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
I didn't realise.
No, I only realised after I said it. It wasn't planned. But I just think if you give away 26 points in playoff football, that's a problem. So that's just one area I would just like them to... When was the last time you saw the Titans give away 10 points?
Yeah. The defence isn't... It's probably not as good as it was last year. Like they're not getting as much out of some of their players. They lost Jarrell Casey, and I think Jeffrey Simmons has come in as a replacement. I think he's going to be a great player, but sometimes you just need that experience just to anchor that defensive line. And I think that's one of the things they're missing. Their pass rush has been almost non-existent this year. Like they brought in Jadeveon Clowney, he's not done anything. Who's the other pass rusher they got? Name escapes me. But anyway, they're not getting anything. Howard Landry, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
They're not getting anything out of any of them. So I think that's, I completely agree. That's one area where they need to really improve.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the next game, which is only in it because of one reason. It's the Broncos 3, Saints 31. And poor guy brought in from the practice squad. It's all right. You're going to make your debut. It's as quarterback against the Saints.
With no practice.
24 hours he had noticed he had. It's absolutely impossible.
It wasn't a game of football, was it?
No, it wasn't a game of football.
It was pointless. You might as well have just, you know, for the sake of not injuring anybody, you might as well have forfeited the game. I really have no idea what you proved. You can have some like rednecks somewhere saying that Taysom Hill's the next best thing because he beat the Broncos, you know, after the week before, and he's still terrible. He's just not a starting quarterback. It took him ages to actually break this team down. You know, they were just running wildcat for like the first like quarter. For the first quarter, it was close. This game, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. I think it might have been even 0-0 still.
Towards the end of the first quarter.
We were discussing, weren't we, on our Zoom chat,
like what is the lowest score in a half in the last few years? Because it was apps and most like the least offense. At one point the Saints were behind on yardage because on their receiving they'd actually lost yards, whereas the Broncos had none. But apparently the record.
Yeah, at one point the Saints had -11 yards throwing, and the Broncos had zero. But you know, the Broncos did only complete one pass the entire game.
One out of nine,
wasn't it?
Yeah, more interceptions than pass completions. That's terrible. I think I said it earlier. There's a few things I don't know. We saw Drew Locke's statement come out. He said, "I made a mistake. My bad." And yeah, fair enough. He's going to come out and he's owned up to it and he's said that was a mistake. Certainly, kid. What is he? 22, 23 years old. But, you know, it's not difficult to keep a mask on. My 14-year-old daughter knows that. So I don't think there's much excuse there. But I still can't get over the fact that the NFL allowed this game to go ahead. We said it at the beginning of the season that there's going to be a point in the season where, A, someone's going to go out with COVID. You're going to miss someone. But it's not just going to affect one person. It's going to affect a whole position group. That's exactly what's happened in this scenario. It's affected the whole quarterback room. At that point, the NFL have got to realize that they've got to put player safety first and foremost, and they should have either postponed this game like they did the Steelers-Ravens, like they have done other games in previous weeks, or they should just cancel the game. If they really wanted to punish the Denver Broncos, postpone it and take away one of the draft picks. They've taken away draft picks from the Saints. They fined the Raiders. Some reason they've let Denver play this game, and it's not entertainment. We watched it because we wanted to see what happened, because it's a bit of a laugh, isn't it? But Kendall Hill was his first snap. Cameron Jordan was on him. Yeah. That's pretty scary. it's ridiculous.
It's a game in on Thanksgiving weekend. Everyone's at home, you know, and that is what the NFL has given us on TV, and yeah. it was embarrassment, quite frankly.
I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because so the Saints have been fined and lost a seventh round pick for celebrating with no masks in the locker room with 50 people the week before, and that's been punished in that way. And then the Broncos have been made to lose a game. You know, in whichever way you want to kind of spin it, they've been made to lose a game. So,
yeah.
And as well,
a complete waste of everybody's time.
The Broncos were affected by the week five because that's when Cam got COVID.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
They put that game back a week so the Patriots could have a fit team to field, and yet it's absolutely done over the Broncos.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see, obviously, playoffs now. They're talking about hotels, aren't they?
Yeah.
Hotel bubbles for the playoffs. So the NFL are concerned at the way this is heading. You know, we think it's bad over here in the UK, but,
it's really bad in the States.
Prime Minister tends to be bullied into the occasional sensible thing. Whereas, you know, unfortunately, the US has still got a few weeks of a complete and utter moron to get through. So there is... You know, there's an issue. I think come January, you might see a bit more common sense. You know, we've seen the Niners have to move to Arizona. There's people that are starting to take control in different parts of the states that are going to change how this plays out. So I think watch this space, but they've got to get stricter somehow. It's just how they do it fairly and look after the players. But
yeah,
you know, we're getting towards the business end of the season soon. It won't matter to a lot of teams. It'll be done.
I kind of think that having a week 18 is getting to the point where it's almost inevitable. Like, because cases, you're right, Gary, cases and states are still going up. So this isn't a 1 week thing where this has happened and it's bad. This is going to carry on for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. That's the rest of the season. Like, how you can't keep chopping and changing. At some point, Steelers and Ravens are going to have to catch up the game, which they're going to miss because they're not going to play on Sunday. But after playing, well, potentially playing on Wednesday. They're playing Wednesday now. Yep, Wednesday. We record on Tuesday. But there's going to have to be either a week 18, maybe even a week 19. And there's, you know, they might even have to think about pushing the Super Bowl back.
Apparently, they are desperate to hold off that week 18 until they are right before the playoffs. They are so desperate to make sure they have got some room to finish the season when they said they would. I think they'll do all kinds of stuff before they use that week 18. That week 18 will be there if there's a, you know, if something happens in the last 2 weeks and something is going to stop one team either getting in or not getting in, and that is when week 18 will come into play. Till then, I think you'll see people, you know, playing without players, people playing on random days of the week, people, you know, all kinds of stuff, people getting fined. And they will not use that week 18 until they get, like, 2 weeks out. No chance.
I can't see it happening.
I think you're probably right. Let's not forget... But there's going to, you know, a few weeks' time, it's going to be Christmas. You can't trust players, unfortunately, in this day and age. You can't trust NFL players to abide by the rules. And there's a lot of them. Look at what's happened in Denver. They took their masks off. One of the simplest things you have to do.
You know, I am personally a very big fan of Rita Ora, but, you know, I can't condone her actions for her 30th birthday party as much as I'd like to. You know, and she's one of my favourite people.
But yeah, that's the point. We're coming for Christmas. You can't trust players. They're going to get together with family. Who knows where that family's been? And then you're into that scenario where
who knows where that family's been?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, these kids are going
damn trailer trash.
I wasn't saying that at all. I'm saying like they go to supermarkets. They're going to wherever else, get their hair cut, or things we're not allowed to do at the moment. And you know, it's really affecting John. But the point is, like, you can bubble them, but you've got to trust the players to stick to that bubble. Looking at where the actions of players, both during COVID and both before COVID, where you know players are always misbehaving one way or another, I wouldn't trust them to stick to that bubble.
No. And I'm not affected. I'm just getting sexier. That's what it is.
I'm affected.
No, I think let's just see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I think it's going to reach a sort of a
crescendo
some point soon, isn't it? It's just that feeling. Okay. So divisional game, Packers 41. Bears 25. Not much of a surprise, really, that the Packers win, but
Where did that Bears defense go?
Absolutely toilet, wasn't it?
It's the one thing they had.
Yeah. Just hopeless. But of course, this now means Bears are second in their division.
No, they're not.
They're third.
The third, and they now have a losing record.
Yeah.
So they've lost five on the trot now, is it? After?
Yeah, that's right.
I was listening to people predicting their defence could drag them to the Super Bowl.
The defence could drag them to, not to the Super Bowl, to the playoffs, I said. sort of putting words into my mouth. But not the way they played last night. Last night? Yes. No?
Yeah. No,
yes.
Sunday night.
No, Sunday night. God.
Yeah. They were awful.
And Trubisky wasn't much better than what Foles would have been.
No.
His interceptions, both of them, were thrown into a gang of about four Packers players. Like, this is what I was saying. His decision-making is terrible. So, Yeah, he ran the ball 3 times. He should be running it a lot more than he should be passing it. He's a better runner than he is a passer.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
He might make worse decisions than Foles, but he is inherently more talented. So then how much does that come down to the coaching rather than Trubisky? And how much does it come down to the fact the O-line doesn't give him a good enough platform to have time to make better decisions? So, you know, you can't just keep putting it on one guy. This team just shipped 41 points and he threw for 300 yards and he got three touchdowns. So I know he
put that more on Aaron Rodgers being brilliant, mate. Yeah, but I put more on the Aaron Rodgers playing brilliantly and carving up that Bears defense. Like there were very few points in that game where Aaron Rodgers looked in any type of bother whatsoever. I mean, he wasn't sacked at all. I don't think he was even hit. No quarterback hits at all. He just carved up a good Bears defense. He looked absolutely brilliant. On the other side, Trubisky, asking him to throw it 46 times is a really ridiculous idea, but you're doing that because you're not getting much out of the running game. They've got nothing out of the running game. You're absolutely right, Gary. The offensive line is terrible. They're not helping players like Trubisky or Montgomery. But at the same time, Trubisky's, like, some of his throws were okay. The interceptions are bad, but some of the other ones were short all the time. They're off target. He's never one to throw it and hit a player in the numbers.
But what's he being given as a play? You know, like the quarterbacks don't all just go to the line like Aaron Rodgers and go, move here, move there, and I'm going to lob it to you. Like,
no,
they get told what to do. Like,
but this
it's not
is
like
what
they just
this
go,
is
oh,
his
I'm
fourth
go, like,
year.
Ad hoc.
This is yeah. his fourth year in the league. Like, he should be better than that. I don't think he is.
Is that
I think
down to the coach?
Yeah, perhaps. And I think the coach will be gone by the end of the year anyway.
It's down to a bit down to the coaching, but when have you ever seen a Trubisky performance in the last 2 years, one and a half seasons now?
No.
Before, that is a competent quarterback. Since the defense got them to the playoffs, and Trubisky was doing all right. They were really good on like trick plays, and Trubisky on his feet. He's not a good quarterback anymore, and I don't think the play calling helps. But I think you could give him Andy Reid, he'd still suck.
I think you know, Jim talked about, you know, the O line a couple of weeks ago when he got some inside information from his mate, and you know, he was right. You know, Jim's mate was right. The O line is pony. You know. It's terrible.
Right, that's you, by the way.
and they've got to do something around that. And I think until you look at any quarterback around the league, unless you are a running quarterback or you happen to have a huge arm, most of the average pocket passing quarterbacks in this league absolutely fall apart behind a terrible O-line. We know that's the case. That's nothing new, is it? Like, so I think it's very difficult to put it all on Trubisky. You know, Foles couldn't do any better, and he won the Super Bowl behind a great O-line.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got to be realistic about this. There is bigger problems in Chicago.
Oh,
Chicago
is.
Really do not have great play calling. They do not have a good O-line, and their defense is a bit streaky. And I think when they come up against good teams, I think they're very good at looking great. You know, a bit like Tampa, but like a worse version of Tampa.
The Bears defense would be better if the Bears offense were better. I think the offense doesn't help them out at all. Like, not at all. I think you'd see a big... Okay, I'm going to put this game aside because I think they're just undone by a masterful performance by Aaron Rodgers. Every other game, they've been on the pitch too long. And that's going to hurt any defense. But yeah, I completely agree. There are other issues. The coaching's not great. The O-line is terrible. They've got to fix that. And, you know, even the receivers aren't brilliant. Allen Robinson apart, like, there's a lot of dross, a lot of older players there. I think Allen Robinson's actually playing out of his skin at the moment. Like, maybe he's one of those wide receivers. It's almost quarterback proof, like DeAndre Cook, Hopkins, one of them. but seriously, I mean, he's had Blake Bortles, and now he's got Nick Foles and Trubisky for him. So he's still putting up numbers and scoring touchdowns. So, Yeah, fair play to him.
Is he a free agent this summer?
He is at the end of the year. Yeah, he's a free agent. He's going to get paid.
If he could choose his team, I think he could be quite a dangerous little player there. Because it was sad watching the last couple of weeks. The only time I ever see him is him just looking disappointed at another underthrown pass.
I believe I was quite disappointed when he left the Jags and didn't end up in San Francisco with Star James.
He was.
So, you know, I do have a thing for large wide receivers.
Well, you know, no kink shaming here. So, we'll move on to the team that overtake the Bears. Vikings 28, Panthers 27. Last game before the break. Basically, not really much to talk about here, but for the Vikings, Dalvin Cook isn't a bad injury, it seems. He'll be back next week, which is always useful for fantasy owners such as myself. Vikings, after a horrible start to the season, they're picking up, which is, you know, this, you know, if you're going to start streaking results, is now's the time to do it. But God, once Cook went out of the game, they were pony as well. But, you know, Justin Jefferson, two more touchdowns. Of course, Chad Beebe. Lovely.
Do you know who Chad Beebe's dad is?
No.
Beebe Senior.
Chad Beebe's dad is a guy called Don Beebe. And Don Beebe was the player that knocked out the ball out of Leon Lett's hand.
Oh, nice.
So then, like, when Chad Beebe then infamously muffed that punt, lots of comparisons were made to that event. But yeah, he came back and redeemed himself, didn't he, with that last touchdown quite towards the end. I want to pick out like one thing. I think the Panthers played really well. I kind of think they probably deserve to win, maybe just. I think it's a very even game. But okay, after Chad Beebe's touchdown, Teddy Bridgewater led them in 48 seconds from his own 13-yard line into a field goal scoring range. That's pretty damn impressive, with no timeouts as well.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
I really enjoy watching Teddy Bridgewater this year.
Yeah.
I think he looks like a really good all-round quarterback. He doesn't do anything like crazy special. Doesn't normally, you know, ever throw for more than a couple of touchdowns, but he looks after the ball really well.
Mm-hmm.
He's really learned how to run and run safely, which is really good to see. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows how to get the yards, but then quickly find a safe route to close down the play. And I think his recovery over the last two or three years has got to be one of the success stories of the NFL.
Yeah, I said to John on Sunday night, so I still get nervous when he runs, because I still think he's going to get hit out, get hammered and get injured. But I think he is through that. I think that's just my nervousness. It's the same nervousness we all have when Alex Smith is playing at the moment. But I think the Panthers they've got a good deal there in terms of they're not paying him a massive amount of money. He's on a, what, 2-3 year contract. See what he is. It means they don't have to invest draft capital and bring in another quarterback. They can fix other areas of the team. And I completely agree. Funnily enough, he's a lot like Alex Smith in terms of, he looks after the ball, doesn't make any massive splash plays, but he gets the ball to his playmakers, and he's got three good playmakers around him in Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, and DJ Moore. They'll all score points.
And, of course, on the defence, not forgetting Jeremy Chinn, who got two touchdowns in two plays, wasn't it?
Two plays. It was literally
10 seconds, isn't it?
Yeah.
10 second game time.
Yeah. From two offensive plays from the
I was surprised that Joey Sly missed that kick at the end, though, because he's kicked very well this season. He's a good kicker, and I was surprised he missed it and missed it that badly.
It was a bad kick, wasn't it? Like, proper shanked it.
Yeah. It wasn't great. But anyway, we'll take a break and we'll come back with basically any NFC West and speed round. day. Welcome back to part two of the Snap UK Week 12 review. So, got a couple of games to cover, and then we'll go into the speed round and our D-line power ranking. Of course, finishing off with our locks for the week as well. So, first one, Monday Night Football, Eagles 17, Seahawks 23. Not really much to talk about on this one because the Eagles aren't very good still.
The only thing that was interesting was it was finally nice to see the Seahawks improve. Well, I say nice, not nice. Sorry, Jim. But interesting to see them prove their away record because they were like 5-0 at home and 1-3 away from home, I think, the Seahawks. That's only their second win on the road this year. So, I mean, they haven't travelled very well at all this year, the Seahawks.
I mean, if at the moment, if you want to travel anywhere, it'd be Philadelphia with no crowd. So, even then, to only score 23 points against this Eagles team. But do you see DK Metcalf? He had a game, but before the game, what one of the Eagles coaches who worked at Detroit with Megatron told him that. He reminds him of Megatron, but not yet. And actually, I think what he meant it in a nice way. But of course, I think DK Metcalf has taken that personally and he had a game.
Well, he got, 177 yards on 11 receptions or something ridiculous.
10 receptions,
was it? And yeah. Tyler Lockett is becoming very much the wide receiver two in Seattle, which is not good for my regular NFL, but it's great for my NFL dynasty league. And DK Metcalf, obviously, I put him in my top 10 wide receivers, and I was the only person to do so. And I really do think he is still undervalued. People hang on to this idea that he can only run in a straight line. I don't care where he's running in terms of, fantasy purposes. I don't like it being a Niners fan, but he's a cracking player. He's strong, he's big, he's quick. He doesn't drop the ball these days. I think he's come on leaps and bounds. And that shows what good coaching can do with raw talent. And he really clearly is physically a very talented player who has started to adapt. And as a second-year wide receiver, he is a real breakthrough year, hasn't he? The other thing that helped this week is this Seattle team looks so much better when Chris Carson is playing. He only got about 100 yards, I think, this week, 80 yards, something like that. But
41.
Was it only 41? But him just being back, I think, just takes the pressure off Wilson, doesn't it? It changes the dynamic of what the defense is looking at. If you don't have Carson and you've got either Carlos Hyde or DJ Dallas, then there's very little you're worried about. Carlos Hyde isn't the player he was 5 years ago. And even 5 years ago, not many people were scared of him.
Even then, he wasn't that great.
So, I think it does make a bit of a difference, and it really helps in the red zone for the Seahawks as well. So, when they have Carson, they look very balanced, and I think they'll do well. In that defense we know that's their Achilles heel. It's just how much they can work on that and coach that between now and the playoffs, because they're clearly going to the playoffs, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree with everything you said about DK Metcalf. I still wouldn't put him in my top 10, but he's not far off, not at all. I do laugh about the fact that everyone kind of makes a big thing out of the fact that the Seahawks, they managed to get him at the end of the second round. Let's not forget, the guy was coming out of college having suffered a broken neck. It wasn't a great shock that teams were a little bit apprehensive about his fitness. And it, sometimes, when you do take a risk like that in the draft, you get rewarded. It's worked for Seattle. Other times, you take a risk in the draft and it doesn't reward you.
Yeah, you get John Moss.
Yeah.
So DK Metcalf now has the most yards this year of any wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's over 1,000 yards already. He's got 9 touchdowns, which is the third most in the league.
Yeah,
he's not a top 10 receiver.
No, I don't think he is, not yet. I mean, there are other receivers I'd have above him still. I think he's playing with Will Fuller. Not Will Fuller, no. But he's playing with a superstar quarterback. Like Russell Wilson's having probably one of his best seasons. I don't think he was amazing last night, But he was, like we said about Teddy Bridgewater, he didn't give the ball away, scored a touchdown. He's got legs, he can run. He had a pretty average game, and he's coming off a patch of a few difficult games. So it's good to see him getting another win under his belt. I felt talent-wise, you look at these two teams, I thought the gap should have been bigger than 23-17. Granted, the Eagles scored a last-second touchdown, which is a bit fluky. But there you go. They got the job done in hostile territory, such as Philadelphia is.
Yeah.
And I think for the Eagles, the only thing that is of any interest is whether we're going to start to see more of Hurts.
Yeah, there's been rumours about that. No, they received more Hurts. I mean, he had one snap, well, one pass and one completion last night, so didn't give the ball away, I guess. But I didn't think Carson Wentz was all that bad. I think, again, similar to what we were saying about the Bears, the offensive line in the Eagles is bad. It's really bad. He got sacked six times against a pass rush that hasn't been very good this year.
Yeah. No, of course, yeah. So, say the Seahawks lead in the NFC West and the Eagles have a bad week because they go down to third in the NFC East. We'll get on to the NFC East.
Let's not.
That's speed round. Rams 20, 49ers 23. Not great for Rams. Have been on a decent run, but they're now second in NFC West. Good win for the 49ers.
Great win for the 49ers.
So
Sherman back.
So 2 years in a row, clean sweep over the Rams.
Yeah,
and I think this is like the first time we've gone into both games with a losing record and beat the Rams in a season.
That is correct. Yeah, I think
lovely little stats.
You know. Lovely stat. I think Shanahan and Robert Saleh have got Jared Goff's number. I think that there's been a lot made of Jared Goff after this game, and that he's just, and similar to Trubisky, he's not progressing enough. Like I think Jared Goff has got all the talent. Like he can make the throws, he can sense pressure. He doesn't get sacked all that often. But what he can't do is decide where to throw it, and it comes down to decision making. We're not seeing that. He doesn't have that level of awareness of what's going on the football pitch that other quarterbacks, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, they have like a sixth sense as to what's going on and where to throw it and when to kind of check down. Jared Goff doesn't seem to have that. And I think you defensive coordinators are figuring out how to get under his skin. We saw Brian Flores do it with Miami earlier in the season where the Rams were absolutely destroyed. I think Robert Saleh has done it for the last 2 years, to Gary's point. And unless the Rams figure that out, they're going to keep losing to the 49ers, because, or unless Saleh leaves San Francisco, which, to be honest, could happen this year. They're going to keep losing. I thought Aaron Donald almost won this for the Rams. Like, if ever a defensive tackle could win a game by themselves, Aaron Donald was on that tear in the third and fourth quarter, because he was a man monster.
He has those games, doesn't he? I think the Bills, it was similar when they played the Bills. Mm. In the third and fourth quarter, he suddenly turned up and he carried this team on his shoulders. But of course, it's not enough because the attack, the offense needs to do their part. And like, when you consider the Sean McVay teams, that, you know, playoffs and Super Bowl, you know, I know you're gonna miss a player, Todd Gurley, and his quality, but like, I think lead rusher this week was Cam Akers.
Yeah,
who's rookie, but you know,
he had one long run though. Like, he had a long run of 61 yards, and his total yards were 84.
Yeah, it's not good enough, is it?
It's quite interesting, actually. The two teams are like the polar opposites of each other. Like, the receiving core of the Rams looks really, you know, really good, really solid. You know, you've got plenty of options, and you look at the receiving core of the Niners. You know, Debo Samuel got 133 yards on 11 receptions, but after that, you know, drops off 34.
Yeah,
you know, Richie James 29. You know, the weapon got two receptions for 24 yards. The weapon, you know, and he doesn't normally get that involved with the throwing game. And like, we have not addressed wide receiver enough. I know we drafted, you know, Brandon Ayuk, but that's just, he's been injury prone. Didn't that just, you know, to add to our other injury prone squad?
He's on COVID, so it's not so much injury. He'll be back this week, I think. Like, Deebo Samuel's turning into an amazing wide receiver. I think out of the 133 yards, 83 of those yards were after contact. Like, he's like AJ Brown in a sense. He's difficult to bring down. He's not probably got the strength of AJ Brown, but he's a bit more elusive. He'll go on to be the number one. I think Brandon Ayuk offers a slightly different skill set, but I think they're nice complementary players. But after that, I agree, it kind of drops off. You look at Seattle, where you've got DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and then even David Moore as a really good number three. I don't think we've got that really good number three. Obviously, well, with Kittle, but like, yeah, there's no one else
I was about to come on to Kittle. I think from the last quarter of last season, he became a much heavier, you know, much heavier involved in the blocking game than the reception game. You know, and that balance has got to be found when he comes back. So it'd be interesting to see how it, because, you know, Nick Mullins' numbers are very Jimmy Garoppolo, aren't they? Yeah. 250 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Like, that could have been Jimmy G. It wouldn't make any difference.
So, yeah. I think, but, yeah, Shanahan's system lends itself to bang average quarterbacks.
It does, but when you look at what he did with a good quarterback in Matt Ryan, then... You know, if you had a quarterback that he trusted, then this team is just so much more devastating, quite frankly, on the offense. But
I would take a Matt Stafford and put him here. You'll be fine.
That was going to be my next point. I was like, how much would you?
Like, I wouldn't give you much for him in trade.
Like, I'd give you a sixth round pick for Matt Stafford.
Probably give you more than that, but.
Jimmy G and a fifth.
Yeah, that's probably about fair. I think he'd be a definite upgrade over Jimmy G.
Yeah, but
Good win for the 49ers. Getting a lot of key players back now.
Yes, and that's it. There's they are recovering. Patriots 20, Cardinals 17. Normally we just pass over to Mike to sigh and then, you know, lament the fact that, you know, it's not Brady and the whatever, but actually a good win against the Cardinals team who have been pretty decent this year. I assumed the Cardinals would win this game.
It's just a team that isn't ready yet. It's just a team that's another year away from a serious playoff challenge. That's all it is. It's a developing team, and they're going to have days like this where they probably should win, but going to New England is still difficult, no matter who you are and whether there's fans or no fans or less fans. I don't think it makes any difference. I just don't think that the Cardinals are ready to win yet. So, you know, I think you're going to get results like this. You know, it's still a difficult place to go and go up against the Belichick defence at home. I think... I'm not overly surprised. It was close. It wasn't a great game, and the Cardinals couldn't quite bring it home. And Cam did very little. He could hardly throw a ball again. So I don't think it really told us anything new, apart from the fact that the Cardinals are still developing.
Yeah, you look at the box scores and you look at the New England stats. It's just how did you win this game? Nine completions of 18, 84 yards, no touchdowns and two interceptions from Cam Newton. Quarterback shouldn't... And, he looked pissed off at the end of the game, rightly so, because he had an absolute mare. Yeah, he had 9 carries for 46 yards. That's the high point. But Kyler Murray looked out of sorts, and I think that's on Bill Belichick as a coach who has always... He's got a history of doing this. He can upset young quarterbacks. He's done it to... I don't think he's ever been beaten by a rookie quarterback. And I'd love to know what the stats are for if he's been beaten by a second-year quarterback. But I'd say the stats are probably on his side on that.
You look at the stats. Yeah, they're not rushing. You can never...
It's even terrible.
I know for fantasy is different from real life, but you'd never take a Pats running back in fantasy. But actually, as well, like it's you know, the Pats, it's not just the Pats as well. Like, 49ers aren't particularly rushing the ball well. You know, Mostert's back, but will help. Rams, there's so many teams now that are, it's not even like rushing by committee. They are rushing by committee, but it's just so like below average.
You look at the teams who are putting up the stats. It's the teams that have got the superstar running backs, the Derrick Henrys, the Dalvin Cooks, the Alvin Kamaras. The running by committee is taking a bit of a hit this year. Maybe part of that is just down to the restrictions on team meetings and COVID and all that stuff. But I don't know. It's just certainly not helped in 49ers with the injuries. But yeah, no one else is really doing it that well either.
No.
Have we just gone back a game?
I'm just saying that it seems to be throughout the league.
Sorry, I was ignoring you for about a minute there, and all I could hear was talk about the 49ers running game. I thought we'd done with that game.
No, but it's saying throughout the league, the rushing attacks at the Pats, but everywhere. Like if you're going to have Cam not throwing the ball, which they didn't, you got to have a rushing attack, and they didn't even have that. So effectively, they just won by defense. It was an absolutely abysmal game, quite frankly. Okay, back to Thursday night football. Okay, let's start the speed round. Cowboys 16, football team 41. Gibson had a game. Cowboys went back to being a toilet.
That Redskins defense is good. It's for real.
It's legit.
It's legit.
You know, really good. And, you know, that division, I think, you know, is there. You know, I was disappointed with the Cowboys. I thought with Dalton back, they could do more than this. You know, Zeke just looks poor, man. I've got to make a decision on him in Dynasty. Like, you know, I might have to trade him soon. It's just, it is that depressing. Like, what are you doing? You know, I know Griff said it, and I don't like to agree with Griff, but he just doesn't look hungry. Doesn't look hungry at all. It's like he's got paid and he just doesn't care.
Yeah, well, he looks well fed. But Pollard is doing just as well, and but that's not very good either. So, Gibson, you know, he scored 3 touchdowns, but he had a great game. Scary Terry continues to be excellent, and since Alex Smith is in, the offense just looks a lot calmer. You know,
it's a stereotypical
Smith offense, but they look like an offense run by Alex Smith.
I almost said the R word there. Apologies. I really think that the football team could win this division. Like that with that defense, and they've got a couple of pieces on offense that are working well now. It's kind of all you need to win the NFC East.
Yeah.
If that Washington football team makes it to the playoffs, and Alex Smith starts a playoff game, that is amazing.
I mean,
like, I'm going to have to break open some like vintage port or something to celebrate that. That is just crazy.
He's already comeback player of the year, like without a doubt.
That's the most British thing we've ever said on this podcast as well. I might have to break out the
vintage port. I'll have some figgy pudding and some vintage port.
We'll do a hookup with the first and NFL podcast. We'll do a vintage port episode with them. Let's move on to Giants 19, Bengals 17. Bengals weren't great. Giants were absolutely awful after Daniel Jones got injured.
If the Bengals had an actual quarterback,
they would have won this game.
But as well, the Giants were playing Colt McCoy for the second half.
Yep.
And he was absolutely turgid. And I think he'll start this weekend as well because it's a hamstring injury. So Jones might be off a few weeks, which is horrifying. But
you've got the Seahawks this weekend. So as long as you're not playing anyone tough.
Seahawks, Cardinals and Browns in the weeks that Jones could be missing, you know, I mean, it still might be enough for the I think we've got the Cowboys.
We've got the Ravens and then the Cowboys. So as long as he makes it back for that Ravens game, you'll be fine.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. But bizarrely, I've not been a huge Jones fan, but seeing the Giants without Jones, made me much more of a Jones fan. But yeah, the NFC East currently is Cowboys. Oh, not the Cowboys. It's the football team, Giants, Eagles, and the Cowboys. But it's close.
But the only thing I would temper in that division is the fact that all those teams have got to play each other a lot. Which, yeah, you know, when just putting the worst. I know you are, you know, you can't read as much into that, those wins, can you? Like the Giants and the football team, because they are playing other teams from that division.
Because the Bengals' first win outside the NFC East.
That's what I mean. Like, so their records of, you know, somebody, you know, they've got to play each other a certain number of times. Somebody has to win most of those games. So you have to take it with a little bit of a pinch of salt and look into how they fare against other teams from other divisions as well, don't you? I think.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to the a bit of a shock. Falcons 43, Raiders 6. And I think the Falcons were just... Were the Falcons great or the Raiders just abysmal?
The Raiders were abysmal.
Yeah.
Because you look we talked about the New England game. You look at the stats and on the Falcons side of things, and you wonder how they got to 43 points, because it's not great, is it? Like,
no,
Matt Ryan, 185 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception. That's a bang average game for Matt Ryan. No, it wasn't a rusher above 70 yards. There wasn't a receiver above 50 yards. Even the tackle count on the defensive side, top tackler got 6 tackles in total. What they did get was a few sacks, which is good. 5, that's a decent turn. But this is more about, for some reason, Las Vegas just didn't show up in Atlanta and they didn't win the game. And Derek Carr had a very unlike Derek Carr game for this season, to the extent that they ended up putting Nate Peterman in. And he didn't throw an interception. That's a positive.
He only threw 5 passes, but Josh Jacobs.
That wouldn't stop Nate Peterman throwing 2 interceptions. So this is progress for Nate Peterman.
Yeah. Just not a great game for them.
Was Jake, Jacobs fumbled and was he injured afterwards? Was he?
Yeah, he was.
He only scored a couple of points, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that is a big problem for them. He is basically their offense in one person.
Yeah. Jags 25, Browns 27. Glennon came in, was actually all right. Browns weren't particularly good.
Got the job done.
Yeah.
Another big game from Nick Chubb, 144 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, the rushing offense in Cleveland, we'll say it every week, the rushing offense is brilliant. Jarvis Landry had a good game.
The team just looks so much better balanced without Beckham. I know I keep saying it, but it really does. You've got Landry, who can really, really play, you know, catches great passes, doesn't he? He really can catch a ball.
He doesn't drop balls.
You can get Count and Joku a bit more involved now that there isn't somebody that Beckham to look for all the time. And then if you just feed Hunt and Chubb, they were giving them you have this set, then you can have the next set of reps. You know, it wasn't 50-50, but it was like 60-40. You know, they're both, you know, a lot of us had them both in top 10, 2 of the top 10 running backs, you know.
Yeah.
And then we know they invested a lot into that defense over, 3 or 4 years worth of draft capital. So that defense should be competitive. So
they haven't got Myles Garrett back yet. He's been out for the last couple of weeks, so it's going to get better. I will say this: the Jags. This is the second game in a few weeks that they've at least held on. Like, they got blown out last week, but they held on against the Packers. They sacked their GM at the end of the game, Dave Caldwell. He's been there a good number of years. He built an AFC finalist team, so he did something right, but. You know, this is the beginning of a clean sweep in Jacksonville, I think.
As well, can I just, we mentioned how great Nick Chubb was. James Robinson as well. I don't think he got picked up in our top 10s last week, but he's had a really great season.
But I think we got mentioned, but one thing that was quite interesting to hear, actually, is I think he didn't get that highly rated coming out of college because his 40 wasn't that quick. But he's, again, one of these very durable players. So it's interesting to see how, you know, the league put real importance on certain metrics when you come out of college. But that's not necessarily what works actually in the NFL. Because you can be really quick, but if you get hit by these big guys time and time again and you just snap, it doesn't really work, does it?
No.
And you get these durable players. You know, you think about, you know, most of the good, solid running backs that are really carrying their teams. They're big guys, aren't they? You know, Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry, you know, the, Christian McCaffrey bulked up. I know, you know, they're big guys. And I think too much is put on elusiveness rather than just, you know, Frank Gore, you know, he's been in the league a long time because, you know, although he's not the tallest guy, he's, you know, he's a very solid guy. Yeah. He's thick and you can't really break him. And that's why these people are potentially going to be successful for a long time.
Yeah. I think I said it the other week when we were talking about DK Metcalf chasing down that interception. Like, the only time you run 40 yards is if something's gone really well or something's gone really badly.
Yeah. No, really, it's really true. It's a pseudo, the combine is a pseudoscience that.
Yeah. Most of the scouting is done before the combine. The combine only confirms or. Maybe asks a few questions more. Like, no one really kind of looks. I don't think, aside from maybe John Ross, I think there's very few players who jumped into the first round during the combine.
But yeah, let's move on because Chargers lost again. Bills 27, Chargers 17. They're not losing by small amounts now. They used to lose by 3 points. They've lost the last couple games now by 10.
I'm going to say it for Griff. Bad coaching.
Bad coaching. Really bad decision making
in the game as well.
Yeah.
Well, did you see what they were doing at the end? Like,
let's just run the ball
and run the clock out. You might as well have just kneeled it and gone home. Yeah. What was that about?
Well, did you see the Herbert went to sneak it in at the end? It was obviously completely miscommunicated because his offensive line went into pass defense, and they ran past him. So it just left him completely free to be hit.
Yeah, that's on coaching.
It's really bad coaching.
Yeah. So I do think Anthony Lynn's going to be gone at the end of the year. I like the guy. I think he'd make probably another good assistant coach somewhere else. I just don't think he's head coach material.
No. Yeah, I kind of agree on that one. Jets 3, Dolphins 20. Okay.
Yep. All right.
Power rankings.
What are we doing this week? Defensive line. Defensive line slash maybe the odd of outside linebacker thrown in for good measure.
I think Paul is the worst offender here because he's put in a few linebackers and he's not here to argue it. So. But yeah, we have our first clean sweep of a winner. No prizes for guessing who. Aaron Donald was first for everyone. Oops. Sorry, just knocked my headphones out there.
In excitement.
Exactly. You want to guess who was second?
Miles Garrett.
Yeah, Miles Garrett. 39 points. Only those two were picked by everybody. Everyone else now.
What
is it missing from at least one?
Jim, I went a little bit left field with my list, and I think Paul might have done as well.
Paul, me, we've all gone points a little bit left field. So the next three were picked in four of the five. So Joey Bosa is well out in third.
Who left Joey Bosa out?
Paul forgot. I'm assuming forgot Joey Bosa. JJ Watt at fourth. I didn't put him in just because I think there's better younger players. Then DeForest Buckner was picked by everyone but Paul. But then Paul put in three linebackers. So he picked TJ Watt, who is next. then
is TJ Watt? Are we really saying he's a defensive lineman? Because I did not put him in my list.
He is listed as a linebacker. I agree, but my argument on that, because I picked him as well, because I think he's having a great season. My argument is that he plays as much of his hand in the dirt as he does standing up, which I think is the biggest differentiation between a defensive end and an outside linebacker.
But yeah, he was only picked by two people, but it's like Jim had him second.
Fantasy with John, that is like, I'll just put a quarterback at tight end, like, because sometimes he throws the ball. Like, you can't just make this stuff up.
They let me do it. That's why I did it. Yeah, Jim had him at second. Paul had him at third. So technically, he is above people like Cameron Jordan, who's next. Then it's Fletcher Cox.
He's so old.
He's still brilliant.
Still great. He's still great.
He wasn't in my list.
He's still a wreck. Like, he's the one highlight in that Eagles team this year. Yeah.
He's not having a great year, but no one in that Eagles team is. But he is still brilliant.
I'd rather have Brandon Graham.
Well,
he's about 4 years younger.
Yeah, but
I nearly put Graham in, but Fletcher Cox. I don't think he's the same player he was 3 years ago.
He was
top. Wasn't 10 really?
He was second. He was second in the PFF ratings last year.
Yeah,
ahead of Donald.
He's not a player 29. He was a year ago.
He's only 29.
Is he? Is he really?
Old. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Tough life. Hard background.
And then rounding out the top 10 in ninth, Chase Young, who got picked a couple of people. Paul and Griff went quite high on Chase Young. And then
I gave him
Gokwe.
I gave Chase Young an honourable mention because I think he will be there soon, just not this year.
Oh, yeah.
He's only played about four games.
Well, that's what I said. He'll be there soon, just not this year. I didn't have him in my top 10.
That's ridiculous.
Just outside the top 10, you've got Khalil Mack, who was only picked by Paul, but he went high on Khalil Mack.
Because he's a linebacker.
The fact that he's a linebacker. Chris Jones was picked by two people. Cameron Hayward. Picked by me. Trey Hendrickson, picked by Gary.
And me. I picked Cameron Hayward as well, John.
Oh, yes, you did. Apologies. But yeah, he was just outside the top 10. Trey Hendrickson was just picked by Gary, who's having a great year. Really great year.
Gary or Trey Hendrickson?
Trey Hendrickson. Definitely Trey Hendrickson. Nick Bosa. Picked by me.
And me. What? I put him in 10th.
Oh, you did? No, apologies. I did see that. Emmanuel Ogba. Picked by Gary, who, once again, having a good year. Stephon Tuitt.
Hold up. That Miami defense has been amazing. Like,
yeah.
And he has been a massive part of that. I think sometimes we don't always... I looked into quite a few stats when I did this list. And sometimes... stats can lie and stuff, but sometimes they also tell us the amount of work someone does and the amount of impact they have. And the amount of work he's done on that Miami defense this year, on the defense that has done very, very well, I think he should be in there.
I think he's had a good year. I completely agree.
Yeah, he has had a great year.
I'll take the 10 above that I put above him. That's the only thing.
Yeah, Paul went with Stephon Tuitt. Who's having a great year for the Steelers. They all are. Montez Sweat and Quinnen Williams, the other people mentioned.
You missed one. I mentioned Vita Vey and Danielle Hunter as well.
I had Danielle Hunter. I've just forgotten to count Danielle Hunter. I had him at 6th, which would have made him above Trey Hendrickson.
There we go.
I didn't have him as an honourable, but yeah, Vita Vea is just a monster of a man. But yeah, Aaron Donald to Myles Garrett way out in front is
understandable.
Definitely the most difficult one to do.
Yeah, it was.
I think there's more players.
Yeah.
What should we do next week, guys? We can pick because it's just us three.
Is it? When do we need to do normal power rankings again?
Oh, it's normal power rankings next week. So we'll do that next week. Yeah. Then we'll come back.
Either next week or the week after. I wasn't sure.
It's yeah,
do
it's
after week 12, don't we?
Week 13 is next. So next week.
Yep.
So yeah, the 4, 9, 13, 17. But yeah, well then we'll come back and we'll do tight ends maybe or one of the skill positions. I don't know. So locks. I've been sent some locks by Gav, by Michael. Where is his? He's gone the Tetons over the Browns, which I guess it's.
Oh yeah, be imaginative, Griff.
Yeah, Jesus.
Well, I thought we had to put some. To be fair, into this.
They're both 8-3 teams.
They are, but yeah. And Paul went with the Jags over the Vikings. Paul has gone Billy Big Bollocks. Who wants to go first of us three this week?
There are a lot of games which I think should be easy to call this week, yeah. Which makes finding one that's a bit harder. Quite hard. I'm going to go with Lions. No, I don't like that at all.
Whilst you're picking, I'm going to go with the Falcons over the Saints.
Oh, this is tough. Falcons over the Saints. That's a big shout.
Yeah, just with Taysom Hill, they're not using Alvin Kamara at all. And so
that is true.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go Falcons.
All right, I'm going to go Jets over Raiders.
I will go Rams over Cardinals. It's a bounce back win for the Rams.
Nice, I like it. Well, let's see how they're going on. Because I'll come back. I'll give our scores next week because I was doing it today and we are very tight. But there is one person slightly in the lead, but he's been. No, it's not you. He's not here today. But it's Paul.
It's not me, that's for sure.
But none of us are doing very well at all.
It's because we're not doing it correctly, are we? We're not actually picking a lock.
No.
We're trying to pick like a very awkward game and go,
yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to say they're definitely going to win. But we've got no fucking idea.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Exact opposite of what lock is, but yeah.
I think if that was the case, I would probably go Ravens over Cowboys or Steelers over Washington. Although that game might not be happening ever.
Seahawks over Giants. A lock. But yeah, we'll rename it next week.
That's interesting. Yeah. The Ravens Cowboys game is on. It's on Tuesday night, isn't it?
Yeah. So because it was supposed
Wednesday
to be
morning. Yeah,
supposed to be Thursday, but once again, I think we're gonna have to. Sit tight because I think it depends what happens tomorrow is basically going to be it. But yeah, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us this week, and we'll be back next week, hopefully with a full complement to discuss everything happening week 13. So until then, see you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.